You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis. By the Racehorse Owners Association. And by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Hello, thanks for listening to the Saturday edition of the Nick Luck Daily podcast. Charlotte Greenway here on Friday the 22nd of March, and the flat is back. It's the flat racing action from Doncaster tomorrow, the first meeting of the British flat season that we'll be looking forward to on today's episode before taking a trip down under to preview their biggest two-year-old race in the Australian racing calendar. First though, York Racecourse announced today a prize money increase for the 2024 running of the Group 1 Judmont International. It was already one of the most valuable races in Europe, but they're not resting on their laurels. And I caught up with Chief Executive William Darby a little bit earlier to find out a bit more about this exciting news.
Yeah, hugely exciting news for us, Charlotte. It'll be the richest race we've ever staged at York at $1.25 million. So up 25%. And it's really our flagship race. And I know the jewel in the crown of Judmont's portfolio as well. And we've been together with Judmont since 1989. So a 35-year pedigree of the race. It's been the highest rated race in the world over that time on two occasions. And regularly features in the Longines top 10 races in the world. And it's really about staging the best racing we can in August, over a mile and a quarter, the blue ribbon of our season, and getting the best horses we can, the best equine talent, to come and race at the Naismar for us all to enjoy.
You mentioned that it's sort of consistently rated as one of the best rating races around the world, and the quality is there for us all to see. It's regarded by many, if not most, as a sort of stallion making race. The field, say, that you've seen over the last 10 years, is that what you've been aiming for?
Very much so, and you know, we had See the Stars win it in 2009, and of course most famously Frankel in 2012, and he's got a huge illustrious roll of honour. Last year, of course, Mr. Daff blitzed it, and with Paddington in his wake, and he was a joint highest rated horse in the world outside Japan with Ace Impact. So he's got a great roll of honour, but it's important with it. We're in a global stage and a global competition for the best horses in the world. So it's important that we put our best foot forward and reward those connections of those fantastic horses for coming and racing at York. It's a real crossroads in the season as a race, and horses may be stepping up from a mile or down from a mile and a half and coming from Glorious Goodwood or Royal Ascot or at the Epsom Derby and racing at York before going on to races maybe at the Breeders' Cup in Japan, and Moonee Valley, for the Cox Plate. So it's one of those real crossroad races of the year that gets horses, both three-year-olds and the older generation, fillies and mares are taking on colts and geldings. So it's a great race at that time of year, fascinating to watch and enjoy. And we want to make sure we've got the best horses of Britain, Ireland, France, and further afield taking part.
And just talking about those potential runners from further afield, they're obviously, we're watching the Japanese horses sort of dominate all around the world. Are you sort of making a serious push this year to try and get them involved? I'm sure you've probably had some representatives out there over the last few months.
Well, I'd be myself, Charlotte. I just returned from Japan, Australia and Saudi Arabia with Nick Smith from Ascot and Ed Arkell from Goodwood. We had a fascinating trip to Japan, and yes, very much love to have Japanese representation in the race. We'll all be watching how Liberty Island does in the Dubai World Cup meeting next Saturday, to see if she may make a venture into Europe at the end towards the autumn. We'll see how she races, and obviously we've had Zena Rob Roy and Cheval Grand, both Japan Cup winners in the past, racing the job at International. So it's a fiercely competitive field in the at that top echelon of middle distance horses. But the priority is really to make sure our race is competitive and as valuable as it can be to attract the very best to it.
And you just touched on it at the beginning of this interview, but I want to go back to your relationship that you had with Jugmonde. You mentioned they've supported this race for 35 years, and we're at a time where we're seeing so many high-profile races struggling to tie down a sponsor, never mind a long-term sponsor. So this incredibly good relationship that you clearly have with them, it must be one you're very proud of.
It's a fabulous relationship, Charlotte, and we're hugely appreciative of Jugmonde's long-standing and continued support. Obviously, Jugmonde, under their silks, won the race both in 2011, twice over, and then, most famously, as we touched on earlier, with Frankel. They've been huge supporters of York and racing in Britain and further afield. So we have a hugely close and involved relationship with Jugmonde. Obviously, they're supporting the development races as well, of which we staged several during the season. But the relationship goes from strength to strength, and we're so appreciative of their support, and they are hugely excited and ambitious for the future with this new enhanced prize fund.
And William, just finally, the flat season kicks off tomorrow. We're a day away. It'll soon be Dante meeting time, won't it?
Absolutely. The sun is shining in Yorkshire for the first time in a number of months. So we're really looking forward to the 15th of May, the Dante Festival, which kickstarts our season. We've got the Albestia Equiwell Dante as a leading Group 2 race in its own right, and of course has such an illustrious Roll of Honour of horses going on to run in the Epsom Derby. And of course, the Tassos Musidora, which last year, Soul Sister, for Lady Bamford won, and then she went on to win the Betfred Oaks at Epsom. So it's really the kickstart of the season, both for us, and has many form lines for horses that run with us and then go on to the big carnivals of the British flat summer season, and then hopefully return to us in August for the Skye Ebor Festival.
Well, extremely exciting times, and we look forward to building up to all these races on the podcast over the coming months. William, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Well, this weekend sees the first two-year-olds in Britain take to the track in the Brocklesby at Doncaster on Saturday. With no form to go on, it can be a little bit of a lucky dip. But maybe the time form ratings can help you out. And here's Sporting Life's Dave Ord with more.
I have got some assistance through the number crunchers, the data man at Timeform, because they do come up with provisional ratings for unraced horses, two-year-olds in the maids and three-year-olds. It's what they think, looking at breeding, connections, trainer record, monthly figures, etc., the sort of number you can expect horses to run to on their debut. And the first test of this untested data is always the Brocklesby. It's always quite interesting, and you won't be surprised to know, Nick, that given the way that things have been going, the ammo machine are responsible for the top rated, and by some way they think Mystical Elegance could run to something like 84. A daughter of Zoo style, bred to be quick, isn't she? So she comes out on top at 84. She certainly does.
And who else is expected to run well? Because clearly there's going to be a bet somewhere. There's an each way bet in a horse who's too big.
Yeah, and you start looking around. One who's quite interesting at the top, currently about 16-1, is Atherson Warrior for Alice Haynes. That comes out at 73 on breeding. Alice obviously knows time of day with a two-year-old. Son of Colsty, 10,000 first. He's quite highly rated at 73. The one who there's a big buzz about, the dogs are barking for Dukes of Hartha, for Adrian Keighley, and Ocean Orr takes the ride for him, Mahartha's first run. I mean, they'll be dancing on the streets of Shadwell should he have a winner with his first representative in the Brocklesby. He comes out at 69, but he's very strong in the market, and he's the one that people are talking about in the build-up to the race. And there's one other. There's Paddy's Courage for Daryl Holland, and even bigger price, provisional rating of 70, daughter of Dark Angel, another filly in there. She could go well according to these provisional ratings. The favourite's clear, but there probably is a spot of value somewhere else.
Well, to see if Mystical Elegance's trainer Dominic French Davis rates her as highly as the Timeform ratings do, Nick put a call into him earlier in the week and began by asking why he'd chosen to run her from his multiple entries.
We think she's best suited to the task in hand. She'll love the going. It's heavy. I've got the message through this morning. It's heavy, soft in places at the moment. It may well dry back a bit because they're saying it's going to be dry up until racing. So hopefully it'll be just soft ground, I think. But she's very forward, knows her job. She's prepared like all of them in Ireland by Robson Aguai, does a very good job of them. She's only been with us a month, and she's done nothing wrong since she's been here. She shows a great willing attitude, and she seems very forward physically and mentally.
Okay, fine. And what about the other two that were in? Are they horses that we'll be seeing quite soon in Chanting Empress and Lady Dorchester?
Yeah, hopefully. Lady Dorchester's in on Monday at Newcastle, and at the moment that's the plan to go there. She's a very nice Dark Angel filly. Goes well. I don't think she'd want it as soft as Mystical Elegance. And then the other filly, the Sergei Prokofiev filly, she's a nice forward. We've had a little bit of a setback with her. That's one of the reasons she's going to neither of these two races. But I expect her to, to be on the course before long.
Yeah, she's got quite a nice pedigree as well, the Sergei Prokofiev. Well, quite a speedy pedigree anyway.
Yeah, she has, and she's shown plenty at home. We do like her, and I think he's got 100% record at the moment, Sergei Prokofiev.
Julie Camacho, of course, had a fantastic season last year with Shaquille, who's now left her yard to attend duties at stud. But a new recruit for the North Yorkshire-based trainer is Latam, a 95-rated five-year-old, picked up from William Haggis' yard for 50,000 guineas at the Tattersall's October Horses in Training sale, and he's now a leading fancy for his new connections in tomorrow's Lincoln. Could he be one of Julie Camacho's leading lights this season? Well, here's what she had to say to Nick on Thursday.
He seems in good order. I mean, I'm not sure we can improve on Mr. Haggis, but he seems in good order. And he was a horse that we wanted. The owner liked Saturday horses, and we just thought he fitted the bill for what we wanted, to be honest.
And so his form thus far, although he's a five-year-old now, he's not had a whole lot of racing, has he? He's only run 11 times. Were you quite surprised to get him?
We were, and we were surprised to only pay 50 grand for him. So we'll either look good or we'll look idiots, won't we? We'll be one way or the other.
All right, what's the catch? Because he's rated 95. He's only had 11 runs. He's a horse who could go anywhere.
We haven't found it yet, anyway. He's been very straightforward, to be fair. He's just been very straightforward, easy to do with. He loves his turnout. He goes out in the paddock every day, which is probably a bit different to what he's been used to. He's just been very, as I say, he's just been a straightforward sort of horse, to be honest. We're still learning about him, and obviously Saturday's his first run for us. And so, we'll learn more.
Yeah, and William kept him almost exclusively to either soft or very soft ground. On just what you've seen, can you see why?
Yeah, we can, yeah.
So yeah, what is it about him? Is it just the way he moves, or what is it about him?
Yeah, he does. I'm sure he's a horse that'll appreciate a bit of cut, the way he moves, and yeah, definitely a horse. But you wouldn't want to be running him on rattling ground.
Okay.
We wouldn't anyway.
You've got Titian in the race as well. I'm presuming he will be in the other race in the spring mile.
Yeah, I mean, he loves the ground. They both love the ground. He ran really well in it last year. He's been in good form. We're happy with him. And they've both been doing their prep work together. And as we speak now, we're happy with the pair of them. They've had the pre-race checks and they've all come back good, so we're all ready to go.
What would Latam do to Titian in a gallop?
He'd work the better of the two, but Tish isn't a bad workhorse, to be honest.
Now, I've been challenged to teach you how to be a part of buying, breeding, and owning a winning horse in just 30 seconds, something that takes years to master. Right, here goes. First, become one of 100 members of Century Racing Club, a completely unique syndicate that allows members to oversee the buying of horses that will compete in the biggest races for George Bowie. And that's it, really. Wait, hang on. Is it really that easy to do? It is. You're saying one-off payment means members can experience the purchase of a horse at a breeze-ups and then they'll run in top races? God, amazing. I don't think I need to mention the extensive networking opportunities or the annual members badge for ARC Tracks. Yeah, and it also says here they'll launch with 6 horses and members can swap the lineup over time. I think I can do this in 5 seconds. To experience everything you want as an owner, all you need to do is visit the Century Racing Club website and email Danny on members@centuryracingclub.co.uk.
It's a big weekend down under for the two-year-olds as Saturday sees the running of the Golden Slipper at Rose Hill, the race dubbed by many as the most influential race run in Australia. And last year's winning trainer Chris Wallace spoke to Nick earlier this week about his well-fancied unbeaten runner this time around, Switzerland, who runs in the Coolmore Silks. And it's been made up to be a bit of a match between him and another fellow Coolmore part-owned runner, Stormboy. And this is what Chris had to say, first off, about the significance of the race itself.
It's a unique race, as you know quite well, and others may only know vaguely, but yeah, it's when paths of the two-year-olds in Australia come together. For example, Stormboy in Switzerland, they haven't raced before, but they've had 3 or 4 starts each. There's other horses coming up from Victoria and around Australia, and sometimes from New Zealand. It's the race that everybody wants to win, not just the prize money, but the value, what it makes for the siblings, the colt or the filly, the mum, the dad, you name it. So, yeah, it's a unique race, and this year's edition is spoken up to be one of the best.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess Switzerland's unbeaten. He's 3 from 3. Stormboy's unbeaten, and is a real pin-up boy. He's a big, strong colt. Switzerland, our horse, is a horse on the up and coming through different and perhaps easier form lines. And then, again, you've got so many horses that are coming from different form lines, and it's a talking point. From the first two-year-old race of the season through to 6 months later, everybody talks about the Golden Slipper. Is this the new favourite? Is this the horse to beat? Can this horse beat Stormboy? Because he's been the pin-up boy all season, and now there's some later mergers, including our horse.
And to what extent is Stormboy's reputation based not just on his on-track achievements, but because he's by Justify, and there's such a buzz around this stallion, and we know how important he is to Coolmore?
Yeah, there is, and he's a really strong colt, and he's grabbing people's attention by the way he looks. So that's been a big part. Plus, he won the Magic Millions, which is early January. It's the first sort of featured two-year-old race of our season, and since then he's won again. And, yeah, from the Waterhouse and Bot Yard, okay, Waterhouse, she's been doing this for more than most, and she gets it right more often than not too, so clearly the enviable horse to be taking on.
I thought what you mentioned, Gay, and she's absolutely loaded in this race. She's got, I think, 6 or 7 runners in this, maybe even more. And this has become synonymous with her, really. And I wondered the extent to which this race had really gone in tandem with her sort of much more progressive attitude to ownership, to racing, to getting horses going early, yeah, the way that that's built up over the last couple of decades.
Yeah. Gay's a marketing machine, not just for herself, but also for us. She's our headline act when it comes to racing. She puts news on the front pages. Everybody knows Gay and wants to know more about her, and she's got such a bubbly presence. And she does it with her two-year-olds as well, and her two-year-olds do the talking, and she drives repeat business through her two-year-olds. It's such an important model for her, and subsequently she's made it her own, and she's made a point of being the best at it, hence the reason why she's got so many in the race. But hopefully some of us others can fly the flag with our single horses. And as we did last year, we managed to win the race with Shinzo and win it. So it is possible to beat the Waterhouse Yard, and this year it might be a little bit harder, but I think we've got the right horse to be fighting out the finish.
And I love this James McDonald, Ryan Moore competition as well. Arguably two of the world, unarguably two of the world's finest riders, arguably the two best riders in the planet, on the planet. Did Ryan get the choice between the two?
I'm not sure about that, Nick. You'll have to ask. you'll have to ask people more high up than myself. But I'm very happy with James. Obviously, Rose Hill's our local track, and he's ridden our horse the last two wins, which is important. So he knows the horse well. But gee, Ryan Moore, what a marvel he is, and it's so good to have him here. We've got Tom Marquand here as well. And yeah, the international presence, as well as riders coming up from Victoria. You've got Damien Lane, Craig Williams, and there's five Group Ones at Rose Hill on Saturday, which is my local track. It's Sydney. It really is a big day of racing.
And certainly my listeners will be interested in a couple of ex-Euros that you're running, particularly Via Sistina, who sold for a lot of money at Tattersall's after her wonderful exploits for George Bowie. Now, running a Champion Stakes runner-up, first up, in the Randvet Stakes. How hopeful are you she can reproduce her European form on debut for you?
I'm very hopeful, but it comes down to, have we got the preparation right? So James Ferguson's been a big help to us preparing the horse at Newmarket. She came over here 3 weeks ago. We've been in touch with George Bowie, who done a fantastic job with her career and getting her into form, and found out a few of her interests or little issues and or her strengths and weaknesses, should I say. And she brings that King of Steel form and other form from her races in Europe. She'd beat them, simple as that. Mm. So it's a big task. First up, 2,000 metres for us, a trip from the other side of the hemisphere. Coming into our autumn from an English winter. So we're just hoping that she's within a length of her best form, because it'll be good enough to win. And clearly that King of Steel form stands up as some of the best in the world.
Is the danger lurking within, do you think? I see Ryan Moore's riding Buckaroo for you, the Joseph O'Brien horse. I always thought was about a sort of group 2.5 horse in Europe.
The beauty of Buckaroo, he's been here for 6 months. He's had one start in the autumn, and it was a good fourth behind some really talented horses, and that was 1,400 metres. This steps up to 2,000, which will play into his hands. He should get conditions to suit, which will have a bit of give in the track. He's a good, tough horse. Perhaps hasn't quite reached that Group 1 level, but he's not far off it, and he's certainly settled in very well here.
Chris, I appreciate your time. I did say a couple of minutes. I must have done at least a few more than that, but I think everyone will agree it's worth it. Thanks so much.
No, we appreciate your show. Love your work, and looking forward to seeing everybody at Ascot.
Well, there we are. I'm sure there's been some of you dying for the flat season to come back. And, well, if you're like me, I just look at the next month as having the best of both worlds. We've got both codes to enjoy. Thanks so much for listening this week. Nick will be back with you, as usual, on Monday morning. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the racing app in partnership with FitStairs.